Amen. Thank you, Sue. Can you all hear me okay? I'm kind of battling a little bit of a cold, a sore throat, and my ear is all stuffed up. When I was younger, I used to get ear infections every 6 months with the changing of the seasons. And we moved to Guam, and it was warm weather there all the time, and that kind of stopped. Well, it's back. I guess I'm young again. Yes. So for a couple days now, my left ear, I have trouble hearing. So I'm in the back, and the worship team is up here this morning. They're trying to do it and said, well, just to balance the sound out there, I can't hear a thing. So hopefully you can hear me. I know Tim will adjust it. Last time I stood up here, I spoke with you about stuckeditis. You might remember that. And anybody can tell me kind of the definition or what the idea behind stuckeditis was? Anybody? We're all stuck together. That's what it was. The definition, stuckeditis, I have it here. Attacks of stuckeditis are limited to people who breathe and typically occur somewhere between birth and death. Stuckeditis shows itself in irritability, short fuses, and a mountain range of molehills. The common symptom of stuckeditis victims is the repetition of questions being who, what, and why. Who is this person? What was I thinking? Why didn't I listen to my mother? And that was what I gave you as kind of the definition for stuckeditis. And what I want to do today is I want to take us beyond stuckeditis. Because stuckeditis, even though we're all here and we're all doing things, stuckeditis just sounds like we're stuck together. We don't really want to be here, but where else are we going to go? So in your bulletin in the program, there's a title there. It's the spiritual support system. So what I want to do is take us from stuckeditis to a spiritual support system. Yes, I guess I'm stuck on S's. Okay? But before I get into all that, I had something happen several weeks ago. Some of you know about it. It doesn't really necessarily fit in with the message and where I want to go, but I have a story I want to tell you about. It was a Monday morning, and I'm driving to work, and I'm on 84, and I'm stuck in a parking lot. Okay, traffic's not moving at all. There's this older lady, and she's in her car, and she's coming from Vancouver, and she's headed south and wanting to get onto 84, and she wants to go all the way to the fast lane. Why? I don't know, because nobody's moving. And she actually bumps into my car, kind of sideswipes my pickup truck, so I have a gouge about that long on my truck. But at the time, I didn't know that. She kind of brushed up, and we're kind of moving slowly and brushed, and then she rolls her window down, and she yells at me, "What do you think you're doing? I'm parked. I'm not moving." I didn't get out of my car. At that point, it was the only Christian thing I could do because I was so irritated. And I thought she just kind of like bumped my bumper or, you know, the tire or something. So when I get to work, I get out and I got the gouge there. That's on Monday morning. On Wednesday, I've just come from United Tile. I'm on 405 where Burnside and Everett and Cooch are all come together, and I'm stopped. And this lady over here is wanting to go off on Everett. And so she's cutting along. And my truck, boom. And I go, "What was that?" And I look in my mirrors in the back, and this car is like three car lengths back, three car lengths behind me. And I go, "What happened?" I'm looking and looking. And then I notice, that's when I notice that this lady in the car has gone by. She's now at the light off at Everett, and she's turning left. And I go, "There's no way I'm going to catch her." So I finally realize what's going on. She kind of bumped me. So I pulled over to the shoulder, and I get out, and the guy who was three cars back, the car's traffic's moving a little bit, he kind of goes by and shrugs his shoulders. So I get out and look, and I got this little dent on my bumper. So now I've got, my brother's back there going, it was a big dent, okay? I got this dent on my bumper. Okay, that's Monday, and that's Wednesday. On Friday, it gets better. I'm actually driving. My brother and I are going from one job to another, and we're heading north onto Willigram. We've just gone through the curves, and I'm on the kind of the downward slope before you get to John's Landing. And the traffic in front of me stops, so I put on my brake, and I have to put my hand over on all of my stuff that's sitting in the chair so it doesn't go flying forward. And I come to a stop, and I look in my mirror on this side. I look, and I see this cloud of smoke. And I look on the other side, and there's this cloud of smoke. Nothing but a cloud of smoke. And I realize there's this dump truck, a big rig, coming after me. And he's got his brakes locked up. He's trying to stop as much as he can. Well, he doesn't stop. We're right into the back of my truck, took my bumper, mashed it up, and his bumper and everything. We got off, and we exchanged information and stuff like that. I felt sorry for the guy because I know he was trying to stop, but he wasn't able to. So that's Monday, I get kind of sideswiped a little bit. Friday, I get run into, or no, Wednesday, I get rear-ended a little bit. Then Friday, I get rammed into. And you go, it can't get any worse than that, okay? Well, it can. On Saturday, I did something with my truck. I don't know what it was. I went somewhere and then parked it. On Monday morning, I go out there to go to work, and somebody smashed the window on my truck and took off with my GPS unit. You all know what a GPS unit is, right? Okay, a global positioning satellite is what it all is. And I have one because I set tile, and we go to houses all over the place, and so I can just key in the address, and it'll take me there and take me all the shortcuts. And if I accidentally make a turn that I'm not supposed to, it tells me to get back in online and how to get there. So somebody has smashed my passenger window, taken off with my GPS. So an accident on Monday, an accident on Wednesday, another accident on Friday, and somebody on Sunday broke into my truck. That was a great week. And what I did was on Monday, after it happened, after I got it all and, you know, got a bunch of stuff taken care of, I actually called Pastor Jeff because they knew about the accidents, and he and I just laughed together. What can you do but laugh about it? I mean, it is one amazing week. I kind of started to know how Job felt, just slightly, you know, everything going wrong. My boss was telling me, I'm not riding with you anymore. And things like that. That really doesn't have anything to do with the spiritual support system. Except you could say that I needed people around me while that was going on. My truck is fixed. I just picked it up on Friday, so the back is all taken care of, and I got it all back. It's been about a month now, and for 3 weeks I was driving in my van, and all my tools were there and stuff. So that's just a story. Sometimes when you're going through life and you say, man, life is really bad, you can relate to that story and know where it's at. Just know that even when things like that are going on, when bad things like that are taking place, God is still in control. And chaos happens and bad things happen, but God is in control, and he has a reason for it, and he'll make sure that it all works out and stuff. If you take your Bibles, let's kind of move on and get into the lesson today. I have trouble calling it a message. I'm not a preacher, okay? I tell the youth over and over again, I've told Lisa, I'm not a preacher. I don't look forward to standing up here on a weekly basis. I don't know how Pastor Jeff does it. I don't know how Pastor Joel is doing it. A week-to-week basis? Oh, man, I'm worn out. But if you open your Bibles to Exodus, we're going Old Testament for right now. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. So that'll basically through the second half of the chapter of 17. Okay, I'm reading a little bit different version than some of you might have. It'll be the American Standard, or New American Standard, and most of you probably have NIV. It'll be close, but just a little bit different. Then all the congregation... Nope, I'm too far up there, sorry. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. At Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of a hill with the staff of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Okay, it's a second half of the chapter. Kind of give you a real brief history of it. The Israelites have just left Pharaoh. They've just come out of like 400 years of captivity. They're in the desert wandering. God has, they complained to Moses and said, "You brought us out here. We don't have anything to eat. We're all going to die." So God has now provided them with manna. Okay, they get to Rephidim, the first half of this chapter. They get to Rephidim, and they say, "We don't have anything to drink. You brought us out here so we can die." So Moses has gone and has given them water. So now God has provided them with bread, and God has provided them with water, and that's kind of where this story picks up. But before we get into it, can I get a volunteer? Come on up. Only one person raised their hands. James is going to stand here for a while with his hands up in the air. This is a staff, okay? This is closest to the staff of God that I was able to find. So James is just going to stand there while I preach holding the staff of God up. However you'd like. You can put both hands up if you want. Yeah, hold it like that. Yeah. Okay, that's good too. Okay, go a little bit that way so that they can actually see me. Okay, he's going to stand there for a little bit while I do this. Hopefully, somewhere down the line, his arms will start getting tired. But, you know, James is used to working at FedEx where he's moving boxes all day, so this shouldn't be a problem for you. I stand there at the end when Pastor Jeff has us putting our hands up, and we're praying for each other, and about 30 seconds into it, I'm going, you know, and then trying to adjust your arms to different heights so that you don't have to worry about it. Okay, this is our starting point. I've just read you the story about Moses and Joshua and Aaron and Hur, and that's where we start at. At the end of this, I want to kind of have it talking about us as a church. You okay, James? Us as a church. So that's the starting point. That's the ending point. I have no idea how I'm going to get us through there, okay? That is where I need, and the story a little bit earlier about my GPS, that is where I need a GPS. And in this case, the GPS, which hopefully will get us there if I take a turn and get way off and come back, the GPS is God's powerful spirit. I'm using GPS today, okay? God's powerful spirit to get us there. A little bit about Moses. Moses was born at a time when the Israelites were in captivity, and Pharaoh had said all of the sons born this time were to be killed. So his older sister says, "We can put him in a basket." Some of you know this story real briefly. He goes, he's raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He spends 40 years raised in Pharaoh's camp, raised within Pharaoh's household, learning things, okay? When he's younger, the Bible tells him when he was younger, something happened and he had a speech impediment. Basically, it's a long story. He has a speech impediment. Doesn't tell us if it's a slur, doesn't tell us if he stutters, but he has a speech impediment. Okay, the next person in the story is Aaron. Aaron is actually Moses' older brother. He's 3 years older. You okay? Do you need help? I'm hoping you need help. Getting tired, he says. Aaron is Moses' older brother, 3 years older than him. He was born before the decree came out by Pharaoh to have all the kids killed. So Aaron is raised in one spot, and he's actually taught and educated. He is known in the Bible, it actually says he is an eloquent speaker. They're all watching you. Faces turning a little bit red. We can get someone to help you. Let me know when you need help. Okay, so Aaron is an eloquent speaker. So God says to Moses, "I need you to go and set my people free. I need you to go talk to Pharaoh." And Moses is talking to him, says, but God, I can't speak so well. And he's given all these excuses. And God says, "Okay, your brother Aaron will meet you on the way." Now, Aaron doesn't know that he and Moses are meeting on the way. They're just traveling. They hook up together. They go. They get the people free. They come out. They're taken off, and Pharaoh's released them. Another person in the story is Joshua. Who is Joshua? Joshua is a young man. Some people say he may have grown up under one of the, what do they call it? Egyptians. There they are. Under one of the Egyptians. Maybe an Egyptian commander. You okay? You need help? Do you need help? Two volunteers to help hold his arms for a little bit. Come on up. Okay. Okay, now you're starting to get a picture. James, see, now I'm way off on another tangent now. James, even just holding it for that long, and imagine, as I read through the story, Moses, all day long, was holding the staff of God, and his arms got tired. James was there for, anybody timing it? I wasn't really timing it, about 5 minutes, 6 minutes. You guys keep helping him. Okay, so you have Moses, who doesn't speak so well, but God has called him to lead the people. You have Aaron, who is an eloquent speaker. Moses' older brother is there to help him, to help him kind of translate and do things in a persuasive manner. You have Joshua, a young man. They say that he was Moses's... Yeah, it doesn't sound right, though. Moses' servant, okay, or his attendant. As Moses was doing things, Joshua was learning. Joshua was learning what it meant to lead God's people. He was in training. Okay, that's Joshua. Then we have her. We don't know anything about her. You have a guy who steps out of the woodwork, does what he does, and then kind of steps back into the woodwork. And the most you really hear about her is when you talk about genealogy, because it was her son and grandson who helped to build the temple and helped to build the wall. You guys all right? The two of them there helping him? Okay. Now, you know, you're going to be there for a while. No, I'll let you sit down just a little bit. So those are the four main characters. So Moses, the people of Israel are traveling on this journey. And as they've been traveling, they've been complaining, things have been happening. Some of the people have been going a little bit slower. You know, we all move at different pace. Some of us go faster, some of us go slower. And Amalek is a tribe of Bedouins. They're nomads. They just kind of travel around. Sorry, Tim. I tried to cover it. You can take that out, right? They're a band of nomads, Bedouins. They just travel from place to place and feed their flock, raise their flock. They just happen to be coming along where the Israelites are at. The Israelites are not trying to take over their land. They're not doing anything. They're just kind of passing through. But what they do is Amalek, or the Amalekites, are actually picking off the people in the back of the pack. If they're walking along and there's a 500-mile trail of these people, they're attacking the ones in the very back. You want me to take that? Okay, stand there then for a while. And so the word has finally gotten to Moses, we're being attacked. We have people who are back here who are picking off the stragglers, the weaker ones, the older ones, those who are not in the main group. So Moses says to Joshua, Joshua, you go and choose men. Moses didn't select the men. He was the leader of the people, but he did not know all of the people. He did not know all about the people. The video projector. It's okay because I won't need it yet, but the upper one is off. I have some video to show in a little bit, but never mind. It's long. Let's GPS back into place here. So Moses has told Joshua, Joshua, you go and select the men. Joshua, with some of his training, with some of the things he did, he knew about the people. He knew these men, and Moses trusted him. Moses trusted him to select the men that would be able to go out. And tomorrow, after you select the men, so they have a lot of training. You have these men who have been in captivity for 400 years. They probably don't have any weapons except what they might have been able to get on the shore after Pharaoh and his men were killed. They don't have any weapons. They have no real formal training. And Moses says to him, tomorrow, you go out and fight these men who are warriors. Okay, that's what they do. They travel around and they fight. Warriors in the desert. You guys look cute. Really good. Support him. If we get a chair, then you'll have a real picture of what it is. Where Moses was seated on the rock and Aaron and Hur on his sides to help him out. But back to the story. So Moses trusts Joshua to select the men and knows what he's going to do. He says, tomorrow you guys go out and you fight. And I will stand up on top of the hill. And it doesn't necessarily say this, oh, we got a chair coming for you, James. And we'll fight this battle. Now, Amalek or the Amalekites okay, the Amalekites, in this instance, they represent something that gets in the way of where God is calling you to. And the Amalekites were actually the descendants of Esau. And when they came in the way, God said to Moses, God says to the Israelites, "This is the place I have for you out there." And as they're on their journey, something got in their way. Something got in their way and took their eyes off of the goal, took their eyes off of where they were supposed to go, and put a stop to their journey. Moses says, "You go out and fight against them. I'll stand up here on the hill." So Joshua does. That's where the support system starts. Joshua trusted Moses and knew that Moses was called by God to lead the people. And that Moses had a vision for where they were supposed to go, had an idea of where they were going to go, and under his training, under his tutelage, believed in him and believed what he said. "Tomorrow I will go up on the hill and I will have the staff of God in my hand." Okay, that's the staff there. The staff of God. The Israelites, the staff was important because the Israelites had come to, they knew about the power of the staff when Moses had turned the river, the water, into blood. He knew that they heard about when the staff was turned into a serpent and ate the staffs of Pharaoh's wise men, sorcerers. They knew about the staff and having called up water. So they knew that the power of God was in the staff. And so when Moses is standing on the hill and he's holding his hands up, and they're down there fighting, they look up and they can see the power of God and they know that God is behind them. That is why in the Bible it tells us when Moses held the staff up, the Israelites prevailed because they knew that the power of God was behind them. But if Moses put the staff down, then they couldn't see it and they did not know. They kind of lost focus on the power of God, the power of God behind them. So Joshua knows. And he needs Moses' support. Moses, even though he's just standing up on the hill, he needs Moses' support. Okay, everyone's watching you guys. Thank you guys very much. Here, I'll take the staff. Your arms are numb yet? So, Moses standing up on the hill, when he holds the staff up, and the Israelites could see it. They knew the power of God was behind them. And they're able to fight. Now, that doesn't mean they're fighting the whole time, fighting and watching. But when they get the chance to see it there. And they know the power of God is behind them. Joshua and the men trusted Moses and needed the support of Moses standing up on the hill holding the staff up. Okay? Moses needed Joshua and the other men because by this time, Moses is starting to get old. And he's not going to be able to be out there fighting all day long. So it's a support system. Joshua and the men were helping Moses. Moses was helping Joshua and the men. Now, could God have done this a different way and could God have done it all on his own? Sure, he could have. But he chose not to. He's using these men to achieve his purpose and achieve his goals. He calls us to help support each other. Now, Moses is standing up there, as you saw, James. Moses is standing up there holding the staff. Even though his spirit, even though he knew this is the right thing to do, this is what God wants me to do, the flesh gave in. And his body was tired. And the staff would come down. He'd have to put it down. And then he'd realize, oh, and then he goes back up. And the staff would come down. He'd go back up. You have a couple of men, Aaron and Hur, who step up to the plate. Hur, we don't know a whole lot about, who look up there and they say, he needs help. So they step in and they help. They help Moses to hold the staff up so that the victory could be one. So you have these four men, okay, actually there's more than that, but these four men who gather together, they have a single goal, a single purpose, and that is to defeat the Amalekites, the people who have stepped in the way, the people who are attacking them, the people who are keeping them from the promised land that God gave to them. Here at this church, if we're going to step beyond stuck-at-itis, and just kind of being stuck together and trying to work together, God has given us a leader. Somebody who has a vision, who has a direction, and we as a church have sat around and said, well, where are we going? What is it we want to do? And, you know, we have our saying, we want to reach this community. We want to take Christ to the city. More recently, we've kind of changed that. And anybody know kind of what our three-prong mission statement or vision statement is? I had to write it down. I know it, but I tell you what, I'll never remember it if I have to stand up here. Anybody? Reaching? See, you got it already. That's right. That is our purpose. That is the vision. That is where we are headed to. I believe that God has given us somebody to be our Moses, to help take us to where he says he wants us to go. Okay, and that person, and I've had a chance to sit down and talk to him and to just share with him where I'm at. He shares with me where he's at, and that is Pastor Jeff. And I'm 100% thankful that God has brought him over here. As we move on, we go through seasons in life, we go through changes. Moses, how many of you know that Moses went to basically three seasons in his life? The first 40 years, he was in Pharaoh's household, and then he got chased out after killing one of the Egyptians, because they were beating one of his relatives or another Israelite. He got basically chased out and went into the wilderness, and he spent 40 years in the wilderness. And that's where he got married. That's where he spent some of his time. So first 40 years, he lives with Pharaoh or in Egypt. Next 40 years, he's in the wilderness. Now, after 80 years, he comes back. He spends the next 40 years taking the Israelites from point A to point B, if only they had a GPS. So he has three 40-year periods in his life. So he has three seasons in his life. He died when he was 120 years old. So at the time that the battle is taking place, he's a little over 80 years old. But I believe that God has brought us a Moses, somebody to help take us in the next season of life in this church or in the next chapter of this church. God has given us somebody and cast a vision, somebody who can be our Moses. Okay, now if there's other people in there, you know, there's Aaron, there's Hur, there's Joshua. Where do you fit in? Hopefully we'll get to that in a little bit. But in our discussions with Pastor Jeff and I, as we've been talking, he had some stuff he wanted to share. So I'm going to step down and he's going to come up and share a little bit about what God has laid on his heart as our leader, as our Moses, and where we're going. Okay. It's fine.
As you're talking, I had a visual here. Obviously, it's a big responsibility to be Moses, to be like Moses. I'm not Moses, but to be like Moses, leading and guiding. As far as leadership, I'm going to talk a little bit here, and I'm going to use a visual aid. Let's pretend here. Come over here, Josh, or Aaron, or whoever you want to be. Let's say I'm Moses.
You want the staff?
Yeah, okay. No, I don't want the staff. Let's say we're leading. We're going, here's the goal. Here's point A, like Val was talking about. Point A is here. And point B is like the piano. And we're walking together. Let's walk together here. We're walking together real slow. We're going together, right, toward the goal. But as Moses, say there, Val. If I'm out here and I'm leading, indeed I am leading, but how many of you know that if I get too far, everybody else is way back there? Are we going together?
No.
No. So, I say that, let's try that again. Let's simulate that again, just so we're not missing it. We're going together here at the church. I'm the pastor, her, Aaron, Joshua, we're walking together. We're going, even if I'm like this, a little bit, I'm a little ahead, I'm still leading, but we're still going together. This is the goal. When I'm still leading, keep going. Still leading. I know where God's going to take us, but I'm leading, but we're not too far away. Let's try one more time. We're getting our exercise today, so.
Good.
Stay right there, yeah. Stay right there. Now, am I leading? Yes. Is anybody with me? I'm leading? Yes, I'm leading. I'm out in front. I believe God is going to take us here. Is anybody with me? No. Because way back there, I have asked different people. People have come up and approached me and said, "Hey, Jeff, Pastor, you're going a little too fast. You're making a lot of changes. You're asking to do a lot of things, and you're a little too far ahead of us. I cannot afford to be too far ahead of you. How many of you know that? I can't afford it. It's my not involved here. I want to make sure that we're going from point A to point B. If we want to take Christ to the city, if we want to reach people for Christ, build people in Christ, I can't be way out here and have everybody over there. So, am I asking for everybody to catch up with me? No, I'm not. As a leader, I'm going to back up a little, okay? I want to back up a little. And I'm telling you, as a church, we're kind of having a family discussion here right now, which is good. But I'm telling you, as a church, I'm letting you know, I'm going to slow down a little, okay? I'm going to give me grace if you would. There's changes that need to happen, yeah. Do they need to happen immediately in 2 days from now? No. I'm going to slow down a little because I want to make sure, as a pastor, that we're going to walk with me, that we're going together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That we're going together.
Yeah.
I don't want to be way out here. I have a hunger to reach this community, to reach this. What I believe that you've asked me to come do, and I have a hunger to do that, a burning desire to do that. I have a burning desire to have people come into our church and being built up and grow and mature in Christ and not come and leave and not come and a hard thing happens and then they are gone forever. I have a burning desire to see that not happen. When they come in, we have a plan. We know how to grow people in Christ. We have something to provide for them. I have a burning desire to do that. I have a burning desire to send people out for ministry, to go out and do things for the Lord. But I can't afford to do it alone as a pastor. So if it means that I have to slow down a little bit, hey, friends, I'll slow down. Okay? I'll slow down. And I know some of you are applauding in your heart, and it's okay. I'll slow down a little. It's fine. We're in this together. We're here to stay. Rebecca and I are here to stay. And I don't want to do this alone. I want us to walk together, right? So I thought it would be appropriate. I knew Val was going to talk about this. I thought it would be appropriate for me to just chime in there real quick and say, hey, that's where we're going. And I'm on board, and you're on board. But we're going to do it together. So the changes will still happen, hopefully. Yes, they will. Will it happen next week? No. So I'm going to go through the holiday season here. I'm just shutting up. I'm not going to talk about changes. No compass meeting for December. Maybe not even January. I believe in vision, and I'm going to let people know what we're doing. But as far as the big changes and some of the things that many people are wrestling with, not just a few, I can tell that some people are wrestling with it. This pastor's going to slow down a little bit. And I need your grace, and I need your prayers. I need you to hold up my arms for me. So I thought I would share that with everybody. You're doing great. Keep going, brother.
Thank you.
Keep going. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to back up just a little bit, kind of in the same trail here. I'd mentioned earlier that they were getting all drawn out. The Israelites were getting drawn out. Moses is way up there, and some of the stragglers were way back here, and they're getting picked off by Amalek, the Amalekites. After this happened, they got together, and Moses told them, from now on, we travel in clans. We will travel in our groups. That way, you don't have all the strong young men up here and all the weaker ones back here. They all traveled together. That way, they could protect each other. They still were going the same direction. They were still doing the same thing where God was leading them. But they got together in groups, and they had younger men traveling with older men and women and people who could help protect them as they went along. Okay, that was something that came out of this. Moses was a man, if you know about his life, if you read through Exodus, he had successes and he had failures, and he had successes and he had failures. He was still God's chosen person, and he was the one that was leading the people to where God was calling them and where God wanted them to go. Now I've got to figure out where I was. That's where we're at. If Pastor Jeff is our Moses and is leading us, okay, I'm going to be Aaron or I'm going to be her. Now, her, like I said, we don't know a whole lot about her. He just kind of steps out of the woodwork. You don't hear about him much more than this. Do you realize that even Joshua, in this story that we read, this was the very first time we ever heard of Joshua. No other mention of him before this. This was the first time you hear about him. You have Aaron, who is called to be the high priest, and the line of the high priest, and her who steps out of the woodwork. We really hear about her one other time other than genealogy, and that is when Moses takes Joshua up into the mountain, and Aaron and her are set there to... This is about the time they built the golden calf. This is when Moses goes up and gets the Ten Commandments. Aaron and her are there to help to help mediate, to help lead the people while Moses is getting more instruction from God. Other than that, you only hear about her in genealogy. So, you may be asking, where do you fit into this? What is your job? Maybe you are a Joshua. You are a young person or somebody who is feeling God's call in your life and you're wanting to move and to get some training and to start leading people. Maybe you are the group of people that Joshua selected and you were out there helping with the battle. Now, there's somebody else who's not really mentioned here. These were the people. If you have just a few men out there fighting, or men out there fighting, and you have Moses and Aaron and Hur up there, the rest of the people, you think they were just walking on and had no idea what was going on? No, they were involved somehow, and maybe that's where you fit in. Many times the youth come up to me and go, what is it God wants me to do? Where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing? How do I know what God wants me to do? Amy, I told her I'd mention her in here. She goes, no, you won't. I said, yes, I will. So we had a conversation not too long ago. What is it that God wants me to do? Where is it that God's taking me? I don't have direction. How many of you feel like that? You know, what does God want me to do? As you are going through your life, as you are doing things, God has given you a passion for something that you really, really enjoy doing. Most of you know I like youth. I like working with youth. It is a passion that was set in my heart when I was in the youth group. And the youth leaders who were willing to work with us and the change that God made in my life when I was younger, my passion is youth. Okay? I know that God has called me to work with youth and to lead youth and to hang out with them. I was down here. I'm way off. I'm sorry. Oh, man. Don't worry about the watch. Yeah, I'm going to have to take off. I was down here, and we were getting things set up, and I haven't been feeling really good, and the group was praying for me, and then the video projector and all the other stuff started acting up, and I just needed to get away. You know, I'm all nervous about standing up here in front of all of you and talking, and I needed to get away, and it goes, where can I go? Where's my oasis? Where can I get away and relax? Guess where I went? I went upstairs. All the youth were up there. We didn't have Sunday school today because I was down here frantically trying to get the video projector and other things to work. I went up there and relaxed. And I told them, this is where I feel safe. I can stand in front of all of you and talk, but I feel safest when I am with the youth. I can tell them the exact same thing and feel more comfortable in front of them. That's what God has called me to do. That is my purpose. That is where I belong. My question for you is, Amy, for the rest of you, what is it that God has given you? What passion has God given you? What do you really have a desire to do? What do you enjoy doing the most? When you want to get away, when you want to relax, when you just want to push everything else aside, what is it you do? Some of you, it may be singing. Some of you, it may be running. Right, Jonathan? He goes, no, it's baseball. Okay, some of you may be doing crossword puzzles. It may be cooking. It may be just hanging out with friends, but God has given you a passion. God has given you something that you do to totally relax. That's what God has called you to do. That's what God wants you to do. Amy, if, and I'm really getting personal on some of this, if you really feel that God is calling you into leadership and doing things, she wanted to go into government, she wants to do things, it's not always going to be easy. Okay, when God tells you, like he did with Moses, I want you to lead these people here. It wasn't easy for Moses. The people continually came up to him. You brought us out here to die. Okay, if God has called you to go into leadership and is calling you into the ministry or calling you just to lead youth, then stick with it. If that's a passion that he's given you, if that's what he's laid on your heart, then follow that desire because he will go with you. And as you go along that trail, as you go along that path, God will bring people along your way, people like Aaron, people like Hur, maybe even people like Moses, if you're a Joshua that wants to be there, people along your way who will help to train you and help to show you and help to support you as you do that. That's what it's about. It is a spiritual support system as we have young people who are scattered through here. that are scattered through here. God is calling them into something. Okay? God is calling them to do something. And it's our job to help support them. But please know that while you are supporting them, they are also supporting you. I have a bunch of youth. I get the privilege of working with them who love to do things, who love to get out and support this church and do things. I would say, what can we do to help? You know, when we're starting this video project thing over here, trying to get the overheads out and the video in, and a lot of them are saying, well, how can I do to help? When I say I need help, they'll raise their hands. We had graffiti put on the walls. They step up to the plate and they paint it all. They spend the Sunday school painting and stuff like that. They're willing to support. That's what it's about. Preaching to the choir. You all know this. You all are willing to step up to the plate. You'll hear often about, you know, Val went and, you know, chopped a bunch of wood next door or something like that. No, I didn't. I had a lot of people who were there chopping wood with me when we did it. A whole group of us. We get out there and we have fellowship. Swinging an axe, of course. But doing fellowship. You'll hear about, you know, Val went and did this. No, I didn't. I had a bunch of people who were there with me. When we have a work day here, you'll hear about, oh, we do this. We have a lot of people who show up and do things. That's part of the support system. I don't do, it's going to come out really weird. I don't do anything on my own. People help me with it, no matter what it is. If it's leading the youth and we decide we're taking the youth down to California for a God of Wonders tour, I don't do it on my own. I come up with the ideas. I'm the Moses in that case, and I come up with the idea and say, let's go down and spend 5 days in California with the youth. And Lisa goes, well, how are we going to make it all work? And I get the vision, and she helps to put it together and helps to make sure that it comes through. When we went on that trip, Lisa and I could never have done it by ourselves, okay? If I'm Moses and Lisa is her in this case, or Aaron or Joshua, we're going, there's no way the two of us could have taken all the youth down there and done everything we did. We had some people in the church who stepped up to the plate. I won't mention their names because I didn't ask them. But we had people who stepped to the plate and drove down there and spent the 5 days on this God of Wonders tour with us to help us as we led the youth group down there and we did things down there and then we came back. I don't do anything on my own. Moses was leading the people. He did not do it on his own. He needed help. Joshua was learning what it meant to lead people and what it was going to take to lead people. He supported Moses. Moses supported him. Aaron and Hur, they knew that God had called Moses to lead them to the promised land. And they did what they could. They stepped up to the plate. I have a couple of video clips, which hopefully will help to show a little bit of this. How many of you have ever heard of Aquila and the Bee? It's a story about a young black girl who finds passion in something. I don't want to give too much of it away. Finds passion in something. You got it ready to go? She's looking at it. I'm going to have to probably run over there and run it for her. Could you? We got all these people. We just started and trying to figure out. I'm a real smart one. You know, this thing of having people work with you, now I'm way off. I'm sorry. I started working with this. Oh, you got it going. Now, up in the top, it's muted up here. That little lightning's gone. I decided I was going to help train one of the youth for first thing. The last weekend that Pastor Joel was with us was one of the first weeks I was doing it. And I said, I need to find a youth that does this and is willing to do this. I got Jeremy. I said, Jeremy, come on. I'm going to teach you how to do this. Someone's laughing already. Jeremy sits up there with me at the first set and we're doing some of the stuff and I got him running it. And then I leaned over to him and said, this is your last week. I'm sorry. I picked the one guy who was leaving, into the youth group, who was leaving the church to go with his parents and help start over at Gales Creek and continue Gales Creek and stuff. Smart. Very smart. So, is it? Yes. I heard something. Is that too low? Can you kind of stop it and restart it? Would it be possible? Okay, well, while they try to get this going, I'm sorry. Okay, now I'm going to try to multitask here. Okay, it's never easy. Leave it going. Can you turn the volume up?
Group of dark heads.
You got two of them going, that's what it is. It's okay, it's in now, it's where it needs to be. That might help. That's Akila. She is from a school which is kind of down and out, and she spells really well. And she can hear a word, and she knows how to spell it. She's had a guy who has kind of been her coach and has started training her. She's joining this spelling bee, the National Script Spelling Bee. And he says, I've done as much for you as I can. You now have to do this on your own. You now have to go and do some stuff. He's given her four boxes, and she needs to learn all these words. And the thing started with her mom, Gabbro. You know, she's trying to spell Gabbro. And her mom says to her, you have 50,000 coaches. And so she now has gone through and realized that all these people around are a support system for her. As she works toward learning all these words to get into the spelling bee, she realizes that all these people are there and she's trying to memorize these words. They all support her. You see the guy in the car, kind of a gang thug type guy, and the guy who shows her the card and her brother, all these people gather around to support her as she's doing this. not 100% like what we've got going here, but it's close. You realize we need to support each other. If somebody is going on and they need help, we need to step up to the plate and help them. I'm going to try to find it here real quick. Ecclesiastes. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to anyway now. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? If anyone can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. When we gather together, when we work together, when we support each other, we're stronger." The one where it talks about lying down, if you get caught out in the middle of the woods and it's cold, if you huddle up, you have a better chance of surviving than if you fall apart. Moses, the Israelites, as they were on their journey, they had started to straggle. They had started to get really strong, really stretched out, really drawn out. Thank you back there. They started to get picked off. The Amalekites were there to take their eyes off of the goal, off of the vision, started picking people off. We need to support each other. It goes beyond just being stuck together. It's working together to achieve a common goal, to achieve what God has called us to get to where God wants us to go to. We need to support each other. We have our own struggles. We have our own battles. We can support each other. We're only as strong as the weakest person that we have. And so we gather around that person and bring that person along. As Pastor Jeff was saying, as we continue to where God has called us to, we're only going to get there as quick as our last member. And we cannot let it get drawn out, get stretched out too far. This does have an ending. I'm going to show you the end of it. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry, I may ruin the whole thing for you. It is a little bit shorter. Think you can get it? The little diamond, fire. Here you go. We have a vision. If God has given us a goal, a final place to get to, if we gather around, we can get to there. In the movie, her goal is to win the spelling bee. I won't ruin the whole thing for you. She eventually gets there. There's a little bit of twist in it. I have the movie. If anyone's really interested in watching it, I'll let you borrow it. You can watch it and see how she gets from starting to the end point. I know I've rambled a lot. I've talked a lot. We have a common goal. We have a common goal. Okay. We need to support each other as a group, but then we also need to support each other as individuals to get to where God has called us to get to that final place. I'm going to close with a poem. I've heard it before. It's actually part of this movie as well. It's called Our Greatest Fear. And it's written by Marion Williamson. It says, "Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate, but that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, handsome, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your plain small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God within us. It is not just in some, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we consciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Do not commit the sin of omission. Let your light shine. May I let my own light shine. Don't be afraid to do what God has called you to do. People will gather around you. They will support you. They will help you to get there. People have helped me to get to where I felt God had called me to be. As I've been on this journey, Amy, follow God as He leads you, as He directs you to where He's calling you. People will gather around you. Any of you youth, whatever it is that God's calling you to do, go after it. If He's called you, if He's given you a passion for it, that's what He wants you to do. If it's music, if it's sports, if it's helping people, if it's childcare, if you truly have a passion for kids, maybe God's calling you to be a teacher. You can let your light shine and make a difference in the world. For you adults, it's the same thing. You say, well, I'm 60 years old. Moses was 80 when he started leading these people and stuff. Whatever God is calling you to do, He's put you in this church so that you can do that, so that we as a church can get to where He's called us to be. That's what it's about. You have a song? I'm ready. I'm done with that.